every Tuesday afternoon from 1 to 2 p.m. for the Community Living Show. Join host Michael, Kelly, and friends on CITR 101.9 FM and also online at www.citr.ca for the Community Living Show, right after the morning after show.
LGBTQ.
Dave Radio, Fridays at noon on CITR.
Wow, wow, Dave, you're so sway. Oh, Dave, I like your shave.
And we're the Daves. I'm David Bedanek.
I'm Dave Campbell.
I'm Dave Frank.
We're the Daves.
And you're listening to CITR FM 101.9.
CITR Radio.
And these are the Daves of our lives.
It is Friday, the 21st of September, 2018, and this is Dave Radio with Radio Dave on the radio. We're broadcasting live on CITR 101.9 FM and streaming on the World Wide Web at CITR.ca from our studios underlooking the agora of the Palatial Student Nest on the Musqueam territory of Ulksan, better known to you as the Point Grey campus of the University of British Columbia. On the program today, Ruby Slippers Theatre is taking on Michel Tremblay's classic play Les Belles Sœurs at the Gateway next month. And we'll talk to some of the cast. And we'll meet UBC alum Kim Senclip Harvey. Kim is presenting Kamlupa, a high-energy, indigenous, matriarchal play at the Culch starting on Tuesday. Plus, we'll fill you on what's going on in other theater events around town and the usual call board and lots of local music. It's Vancouver's go-to hour for local, independent theater, film, and music, and it starts right now. Don't touch that dial. And we're going to start off with some music. The Colorifics, a great local group that have been around for almost 20 years. They're playing in Yaletown tomorrow night at the Aquarius Sessions. So we're going to hear from them.
Darkness, walking in the shade. If
you catch a smile upon my face, you will find it only occupies a little space.
So there you go, the Colorifics. And as I said, they're going to be playing at the Aquarius in Yaletown, right down there by the water. On the phone right now, we have two Deons of the Vancouver Theater, Sarah Rogers and Melissa Wee. Hi, ladies.
Hello, Dave.
on speaker from the Gateway Theater in Richmond, where they're rehearsing Michel Tremblay's Les Belles Sœurs, presented by Ruby Slippers Theatre.
We're on location.
Yes. So, first of all, I want to know about the play itself. This is kind of a historic event. The play was written 50 years ago.
Yes, 1965.
Oh, so more than 50 years ago.
Yeah, more than.
Oh, my goodness gracious me. So,
1965, it's set in that year,
yeah,
in its period.
And well, tell me a little bit about, like, first of all, what's the significance of the play? Why has it lasted so long?
Well, this is Melissa speaking, so you know.
You know, I think that plays like this, you know, they go through phases, and this is the first time that this play has been produced in English, certainly in Vancouver, but I think in Western Canada.
In Western Canada, it's a professional premiere!
Which is absolutely incredible, because Michel Tremblay is, one of Canada's most prolific playwrights, and also this is one of his most well-known plays. It's been produced all over the world, translated into so many languages. And, you know, a lot of the issues, the themes that come up in this play, Diane Brown, who's our amazing director, she has pointed out to us that when she was researching this play, she'd actually did her master's thesis at UBC on Les Belles Sœurs. She was just struck by how many of the issues plaguing these women, these Montreal housewives in 1965, still apply to women today.
David, it's interesting because we've also talked about, of course, the movement, the big movement, hashtag Me Too movement.
Yeah.
So, you know, we still have a ways to go. And so the timing kind of on the heels of that movement is pretty poetic. It's quite uncanny. You know, the gift of this story too in this show is that there's 15 women on stage.
Yes.
And we're having a ball. all. We are giggling and laughing our way through rehearsals. It's just so much fun.
Well, I know I was speaking to Melissa about this off air and just the very first day of rehearsal set the tone. Tell a little bit about that.
We were in hysterics. I think we were all in hysterics. I think it was a big love fest where it took, 20 minutes for us all to hug each other and say hello. Yeah. And we all are pinching ourselves. It's almost like every single woman I've ever wanted to work with or dreamt of being on stage with, they're on stage. We're all on stage together at the same time. It is a dream come true.
It is. It's actually quite emotional. It's very moving, to be among. And, the number of women that auditioned for this play, too, I know that after I auditioned, I would run into actors in the community. And when they found out I was in the show, it was like every woman I ran into had auditioned for this show.
Yeah.
It was really...
It felt like hundreds and hundreds.
It was highly coveted.
We won the bingo lottery.
We won the million stamps.
which is what happens in the show.
Yeah, and the talent in this city is incredible. Diane said she could have cast the show 10 times over with the number of people she saw. So, just to be in that room, to know that you've been chosen to be a part of something so kind of, historic it's really emotional, actually. And then we have to, after we have the love, every day we come in and hug each other, and then we have to turn around and just absolutely terrible to each other. Vicious. And
it's been hard for us, Dave. It's been hard for us.
I feel for you. I really do.
We're too nice to each other.
Well,
it's gonna rough us up,
Sarah. You gave us a little hint about the plot of the play, and so why don't you elaborate what the actual story is?
Absolutely. This really is about the lower class women of Montreal. These women have hard, hard lives. They're hardworking. It's drudgery, and what was fascinating about this show when it came out is that Tremblay depicted his mother and the lower class women, and up until that point on stage, 1965, they had never been represented.
Mm-hmm.
You went to the theater and you saw people of class. People of class went to the theater and they saw stories about themselves, so upper class and wealth, and I think about that, for England, but It's amazing to just think about that in Canada. Like, that was actually happening in theater in Canada as well, that there was a kind of elitist theater.
And also like the class thing, but also the language thing.
Absolutely.
Because even in Montreal, a French theater was really not looked upon as anything really
artistic. There's a name for the
artistic.
Rural accent of the time. And I'm going to say it wrong. It's like... Jowl, oh gosh, everyone out there that's listening is going to be saying it out loud.
That's right, they're
and
all yelling
I'm
at you now.
I'm embarrassing myself, but obviously we're all English, so we're not doing that accent, but the French Canadians would know what I'm talking about, and it's that kind of rural Canadian French accent, which is very, very different from Parisian and even from a kind of upper-class Montreal French. And he wrote it also he actually wrote the play with that accent. Mm-hmm. And so that was also shocking because it's thought of as, it's really like, it's akin to Michael Caine being, arriving in films in the 60s, in the same era, with his Cockney accent, with his full-on London accent. It's parallel to that.
Yeah, it would be
and
shocking.
It had that kind of same deliciousness and shock value.
Yeah. So how does that translate into English then?
Well, I think that the translation is fantastic. And there is a kind of, in terms of the language and how it's written and the way they speak, it's coarse. It's very coarse. I play a character, now you're going to be very shocked about this, Dave, you can't imagine, but I play a character who's a little bit more sophisticated and thinks she's better than everybody else and is rather upper class.
Well, that's how good an actor you are.
Even in this lower class setting.
Yeah.
And I love the translation that he's kind of given that character of Lisette a little bit posher use of language. And I call everybody Mrs. I actually call them Madame, where everybody else uses first names.
Right.
But I am referring to them, you know, as Mrs. So-and-so. So the translation has, you know, the translator has taken great care to help and support all those specificities that are in the original.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think that there's maybe one or two, you know, every once in a while we run into a reference that we think, oh, is that, it's something, I mean, there's definitely a lot of references in this play that's put it right in the era. It's unmistakable. You know, they talk about what's going on at the time. They talk about political figures. They talk about movie stars. You know, it's very of the time, so there's no mistaking what era we're in. But sometimes there's jokes or there's certain references that you go, oh, like, that must be of the time. Maybe it doesn't fit. But there's nothing that anybody who'd come in a 2018 as an audience would be, nobody would be confused. You know, you wouldn't come and feel like you couldn't understand what was happening on stage because it's of a different time or of a different place. I mean, these are just real people, real humans being depicted on stage in real situations that I think are very relatable.
There's also a great
stylization,
which I have found really surprising.
Uh-huh.
And I think Tremblay was really ahead of his time. When you come, Dave, to see it, I think you'll be quite surprised because there's these moments in the piece that are highly stylized, highly physical, and a lot of this is Diane's brilliance as well, that she has really choreographed, along with Tara Friedenberg, some highly choreographed, stylized numbers within the piece, and it really does support the poetical language. You suddenly get this poetry and this group language within a very naturalistic, realistic setting. So it jumps back and forth between this heightened naturalism and then really high style.
Mm-hmm.
It's very theatrical. And when I think about it and go, I can't believe he wrote this in 65.
Fascinating. It's just fascinating. And it's only running for a week. That's what's crazy about it. You're
I
on
know,
from September.
Oh, I know. I know.
Short run.
Yeah. So get
people have to get their tickets.
Get your tickets now. You don't want to miss it. So you're at the Gateway Theater. Opening night is September 28th, and it runs till the 6th of October.
That's right.
Yeah. And
main stage. We're in that lovely big theater on the main stage.
It's beautiful theater.
Yeah.
Oh, wait till you see the set. It's going to blow you away. It's so beautiful. Drew Facey designed our set, and it's just fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Getting one of the top set designers in the country to do that work and
cream of the crop.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, it's just you guys are blessed. It's going to be an amazing show, and I can't wait to see it.
Thank you so much, Dave.
All right. I know you took some time from rehearsal to come and talk to us, so I'll let you go. But thank you very much for coming on and getting us all fired up about Les Belles Sœurs.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Always a pleasure, Dave.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye. So once again, if you want to see Les Belles Sœurs, you can go to thegatewaytheater.com or phone their box office, 604-270-1812. The show runs from the 28th to the 6th of October with a preview on September 27th. Michel Tremblay's Les Belles Sœurs, presented by Ruby Slippers Theater. Local band named Kitty and the Rooster have a new album out, and it's called One Gig Hard Drive. They're having a big party to celebrate the release. It's at the Anza Club tomorrow night, and this is not the title track, but the first track to tell you all about who are Kitty and the Rooster. Where are they? It's right here. There we go.
Let's play. yes, daughter of the bear.
When you join Balloon Club, we guarantee that you will be able to make a balloon poodle within the first day.
Here at the UBC Ant Club, we just like to talk about ants and compare ant farms. It's really cool.
Paperclip Club is all about, well, paperclips mostly.
At Blah Club, you can blah blah, blah 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 blah.
Explosion!
There's only one club worth joining at UBC, and that's CITR 101.9 FM. We got free tickets to shows, whirly pops, professional help in all types of audio engineering, passes to festivals, crazy parties, live band swag, all types of crazy people. Our programming manager rides a motorcycle. There's freestyle rapping, Nardwar the Human Serviette, the vinyl and record libraries, Discorder magazine, free studio recording, and it sure beats the hell out of Paperclip Club, which is a thing that I just made up because I work at
CITR.
So come check us out on the floor of the Student Union Building. We got all types of crazy shit for you to do. Or check us out online at www.citr.ca.
People are really done with politics as usual.
But then it's all about the competition.
Every Vancouverite has their own story.
It's the perfect time for our alternative.
Vancouver's municipal election looms. October 20th. Do you know who's running for
City Council? School Board? Parks Board?
This is a wacky municipal election, and you're going to want to stay updated. Download Seeking Office, the newest municipal elections podcast from CITR's News Collective. Find Seeking Office on iTunes and Stitcher, or wherever you download your podcasts, starting July 3rd.
The government now covers medications that could reduce your chances of contracting HIV by 90%. PREP stands for pre-exposure prophylaxis and is a preventative measure that HIV-negative folks can take to reduce their risk of becoming positive. Health Initiative for Men suggests that if you have had sex with a partner with HIV, have had a recent STI, have multiple sexual partners, have a history of inconsistent or no condom use, are currently involved in sex work, or have had repeated courses of post-exposure prophylaxis, then you might want to think about looking into PREP measures. CITR and Discorder are not medical professionals. Please refer to your doctor for more information.
And on the line right now, we're talking to Kim Senslip. Sense Clip Harvey. I've got it. I got it. I practiced and everything.
You got it.
Hi, Kim.
Hello.
Hi. Now, Kim, you are an actor, a director, a playwright, And you've combined all those talents together for a show that you're going to be presenting at the Kulch next week. So tell us a little bit about it. It's called Kamlupa.
Yeah, so Kamlupa is one part of a larger artistic ceremony that we're focusing on Indigenous matriarchy work. It follows two urban Indigenous sisters and their trickstery-like friend who are kind of going on a journey, embarking on figuring out what it means to be an Indigenous person today. It's a story about reclamation of indigeneity, about reclamation of matriarchy, and about really igniting the power that exists within all of us. Kamlupa came out of so many things, but I think for me, when I distill it down, the biggest message and communication around values that I really would like for our witnesses who come as audience members to receive is understanding the full scope of Indigenous women's lives and what that means to really see us live in every aspect of what it is with who we are.
And I noticed that you're using words like ceremony and witness, like this is more than just a play or a piece of theater.
For sure. Yeah. This is when it's definitely not Canadian theater. It's definitely not just theater.
Yeah.
We've reclaimed the practice of what storytelling really is for us, and that's ceremony, and that's medicine, and that's our healing. And when we gathered around a fire, our values and the message our community need to be and bear witness to was reciprocated back to everyone. And so for me, reforming what we even call our storytelling and reframing it into an Indigenous paradigm was a really huge part of what it is that I was doing here, because I think for far too long, Canadian theater has tried to tell or does tell Indigenous stories. But for me, when I wanted to reclaim this and tell the story, I needed a different format for and I needed it to move and be nimble to what the story actually needed. And for me, that it became really artistic ceremony. And we create a long lodge when you come into the theater and we claim space about what that actually is. And we tell people when they come in where this is not we don't want to leave anyone behind. So the women and the actors and the fire holders explain the protocol off the top so everyone's really understanding what it means, because bearing witness to something, being asked to be a witness, is also not a passive thing. It's not a buyer ticket, go home, and end a story. We ask that you come and witness these women, witness these teachings, and that it is activate something inside of you when you leave, and that you are now a knowledge holder and you have responsibility once you bear witness. So it definitely is something that I've never experienced in Canadian theater in my background. You know, I went to UBC and did my BFA there, and I'm so grateful for that training. And it's not about dismantling Canadian theater, but it's about innovating and understanding what Indigenous theater is for us.
Yeah, it's giving what could be a brand new experience to a lot of people, but also kind of sharing what other traditions are as well.
I hope so. Yeah. I hope that people come, non-Indigenous people come and really understand the power of what Indigenous storytelling is.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredibly important that they come. I say that I wrote this for Indigenous women, but it's incredibly important for the settler community members to come and bear witness to see what it is that these women and we are truly capable of.
Yeah.
Because I think also Canadian theater and a lot of media has portrayed Indigenous women as victims, without power, without agency, without sovereignty, and I think that's really dangerous,
mm-hmm.
because I think that if you portray any member of a community that way as one thing, especially without power, that we know that art is powerful, we know that theater is powerful, and that message will be received. I don't think either of us in our current present believe that white men only die or cry. We don't see them just in that one way in our art, in our media, in our films, in our stories. And I'm very scared that that's how Indigenous women have been portrayed for far too long. Yes, that is a part of the scope and of what it means to be an Indigenous woman, but it is 5% of the spectrum of what it is that we are. And I think we need to.
Mm-hmm.
I say, if you've ever seen violence or you've ever read a headline of violence acted against Indigenous women, then you have a responsibility to also see Indigenous women
having power, having joy, experiencing happiness, having agency over their lives. Because otherwise, if you don't give yourself the full understanding of what that is, you are not truthfully seeing who we are. And I, that's a big part of Kamloops for me, is truthfully looking at Indigenous women, because I don't think that happens enough.
Yeah, I can't add to that at all. That's exactly what it's about. Tell us a little bit more about the people that are participating in this event with you.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so proud, and I'm just so proud of the team we've assembled. It being artistic ceremony and it being Indigenous theater and matriarchal theater, I really wanted to have a group of women. Mm-hmm. We were up in Banff for the Playwrights Lab, and we were able to create what kind of one of my mentor, Kevin, called a women's lodge. And that really resonated with me because I realized the power of what it means to have women in a room. And I've never experienced that in over 15 years. Of acting in this community and working in this community, of a design team of all women, of a cast of all women, and just women in the room without a male gaze of creating. And so that was important to me. We've got Sam McHugh, Daniela Marciai, Emily Susana, Jessica Schacht, Lindsay Lachance, all a part of the kind of Fire Igniters, the design team, and then three extraordinarily talented women, Yolanda Benal, Caitlin Yacht, and Sam Brown, acting, holding the fire. And the other reason that I really want to write Kamloops is I wanted to show people just how funny Indigenous women are. Kamloops is I'm calling it Indigenous Matriarch Theater because it's not a comedy, it's not a drama, and I hate the word dramedy.
Yeah.
I just think it's so reductive and so false. I'm just telling people that this is Indigenous Matriarch Theater, and you've got to come to figure out what that is for you, because I also feel that I need to respect the people who come. I hate going to theater and feeling like I'm being pushed into what I should be thinking or knowing, or that they've told me what my experience will be. I respect audience members. I respect witnesses so much that I know that they're going to come and they're going to pull from the story what they need in their lives. I'm not the expert in their lives. Everyone else is. And for me, Indigenous storytelling is also saying that you're going to get the teachings. You're going to see what you need to see. You're going to extract what you need to out of the story for the exact reasons and the perfect reasons that you need in your life. So for me to try and reduce it or categorize it for someone, it just doesn't make sense to me. But the other thing to go back is that the team, it's just been extraordinary working with them. I said, I don't need to work with men. It's a saturated market. You know what I mean?
I've done that.
That when, you know,
I've
like
done the working with men thing, yeah.
Exactly. I think, too, because I believe that there's so much power in theater and there's so much power in being given in being a director, being a writer, that it's an Indigenous way of being that you disseminate power.
Yeah.
And for right now, there's no equity in theater in terms of gender parity. The technicians and the design team specifically are so male-centric.
Yes.
I don't remember a single female designer who got to be in the room all the time and participate in creating the story. For that matter, an all-Indigenous, all-female cast, and then on top of that, an all-Indigenous cast. You know, people have been really generous with the way that they've been comparing this story or trying to understand it and saying, you know, it reminds me, and there are elements to it of Thompson's Red Sisters. And I was in Red Sisters at UBC when they did the production of it, and I think it was 2007. But that show was written 32 years ago. That show was written the year I was born.
Yeah.
And that is really scary, that that's the current reference. And for me, that just tells me even more why the show needs to be done and why I need to keep writing, because it's absolutely necessary. And the feedback that we've been getting from Indigenous women in particular are just saying, thank you. I've been waiting my whole life to see a story like this. I finally see myself in art. I see my stories. I see my struggles. I see my triumphs in these women. And that, for me, is the best metric of success that I can get. It's them giggling and chuckling at jokes that I wrote just for them,
yeah.
That they're only Indigenous women are going to get, because that doesn't happen often enough. And we've been really fortunate in WCT to have really big, full houses. We've been almost sold out almost every show. The Culch is also coming. The tickets are now, there's limited seating for every night. So I think we're hitting something here. We're hitting a need that the community is saying, we want this story. So that also feels really nice.
Yeah. So you mentioned WCT, which is Western Canada Theatre in Kamloops. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I noticed that there's a collaboration with some other groups across the country, like Persephone in Saskatoon.
Mm-hmm. And Gordon Tootoosis, Algonquin Theatre, and also the National Arts Centre Indigenous Theatre section. So I also, like my friend said, did you get a tour on your first show? I don't know. I said people just really want to present this show. Yeah. And so I'm really excited because it's also, for me, it goes beyond the proscenium, this work. It's the talkbacks, it's the community of practices, it's the blog, it's the podcast. Like, I'm currently sitting in the school in my reserve in Upper Nicola on Sioux territory, like kind of in the principal's office, because I'm going to go talk to the students about what it means to be a storyteller. That's the part of the ceremony.
Yeah.
That's this part. Being here is equally as important as seeing the show. And we're kind of extending the edges of what it means to actually do Indigenous artistic ceremony. And I'm elated that the producing partners really believe in what we're doing here.
I can tell from your voice, you sound like you're just bubbling over with passion and excitement.
I think it's because it really impacts, for me, some of our most marginalized people.
Yeah.
I don't know a group of our ecology in this country, of our community, who've been more marginalized, more pushed, more neglected, more oppressed, and had more violence acted upon them. And we still, Indigenous women, are still here. We're still fighting. We're still present. I just, seeing the power of these women come to these shows, and we honor them in a way that if you come to the show, you'll see that even last night when it happened, one of our performers on stage burst into tears, because when we sit together, when Indigenous women presence themselves, there's something truly transformational about what that is. And I'm just so excited about it all. You know, people ask me on opening night, how are you feeling? And I was like, I'm bursting with joy. If you squeeze me, I will cry.
Yeah.
It's literally bursting out of me. Yeah. So,
well, congratulations.
I celebrate. Thank you so much. Yeah. I really, really appreciate that.
Well, and I appreciate you taking the time to come and talk to us about it. That's
of course. Thanks so much. I really want the UBC population and all of your friends to come, mm-hmm. because I think it's something they haven't seen.
Yeah.
And if you're an Indigenous person, you can use at the Cults the code FIRE, and tickets are only $10.
There you go. Easy.
Easy peasy.
Yeah. So you have a preview on the 25th, which is Wednesday night?
Tuesday. Time is a construct.
I know. I'm trying to add it up too.
Tuesday is the preview. The 26th is opening, and it's currently sold out, and then tickets are starting to go.
Yeah.
So if you do want to come, get your ticket now, because
it's limited time. You close on the 6th of October. So
we do close on the 6th, and we head right over to Saskatoon where we'll get a bit time to rehearse and then put it up again. And I'm so excited to share it with that territory.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to see it, too.
I know. Let me know what night you're coming.
I'm going
to be there each night to say hello and hang out. So it's a big celebration.
Yeah. All right. Well, Kim Sensklip-Harvey, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. Congratulations and best of luck on this production and everything in the future.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Wow. Okay, it's been kind of a theme today of powerful women telling stories that are not traditionally told in theater. So things happen like that sometimes.
Back in the time before my Keenan ruined watching the Canucks for me, when he traded away Trevor Linden after letting Messier have the captaincy. I used to like to watch Gino Ochi play the enforcer role. Didn't have as much talent as some, but he sure played with an awful lot of soul. Now you can go ahead and be a jerk, and you can call him a goon. But he fought like a kid in the schoolyard. He was trying to make a bully sleep his little brother alone. There was a reason people always shouted his name. They recognized the emotions playing across
his face. They recognized those feelings, knew they'd often felt the same. To determine the look that says, I'm just fighting, stay in the game. I'm just fighting. That we know and we like to see a little blood on the ice. But the armchair shadows and the TV clowns, they don't pay the butcher's bill. It falls to people like Gino to go out and bleed for the national spectacle. But he wouldn't let himself become another casualty. He took your worst impulses and he turned them around to lead a life of leadership and dignity. There was a reason the people always shouted his name. They recognized the emotions playing across his face. They recognized a feeling, knew they'd often felt the same. It's a determined look that says, I'm just fighting to stay in the game. 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 Fighting to keep the love of our spouses. Fighting to keep the banks from taking our houses. Fighting to keep the respect of our children, making a living, not making a killing. Leader Juno Ojig met with the Pope, it's true. Pope apologized for the church's role in Canada's residential school. I wonder, was he tempted to grab him by the jersey and pop him a few? But Juno forgave, said it's time to work together to build. Now he owns and runs the golf course out on the Musqueam, leading young people with a strong example. That is what he's always done. And there was a reason the people always shouted his name. They recognized the emotions playing across his face. They recognized those feelings, knew they'd often felt the same. It's a determined look that says, I'm just fighting to stay in the game. I'm just fighting to stay in the game. I'm just fighting to stay in the game. I'm just fighting to stay in the game.
You know what's better than reading a great magazine? Reading a great magazine that also helps you fight poverty. Megaphone Magazine is sold by homeless and low-income vendors on the streets of Vancouver and Victoria. Vendors buy magazines for 75 cents and sell them for $2. It's flexible, low-barrier work for people who may not have access to traditional jobs. Download the Megaphone app to find vendors and buy the magazine, even when you don't have change.
Do you want to voice this one?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Do you want me to voice it?
I can voice it. Yeah, yeah. Please voice
That's
this one.
That's the wrong mic.
I forgot.
You f- dip. I can't believe I put up with this. And I asked for a grape soda, you asshole. Okay.
Due to a labor dispute, CITR is missing its star voice actors. That means if you're interested in producing PSAs, advertisements, and various other promotional wonders for airplay on the radio, we need you. Learn how to get involved with CITR's production department and all other facets of volunteering at CITR and Disc Order Magazine at CITR.ca. Programming, photography, media training, and more. Plus, a guest star in the lounge. No, wait, we can't promise that.
Can't believe I put up with this. Let's see here. God. Oh. Everybody dance, dance. What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance.
Oh.
Everybody.
God, this is awful.
Isn't there anything?
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 Listening to the radio these days can be distressing. Fortunately, here at CITR, our programmers choose the music that they play, so our charts reflect what people actually listen to. To find out what's really topping the charts, pick up a copy of Disc Order magazine or check us out online at CITR.ca. Unless, of course, you'd rather keep listening to the chart-topping single, Everybody Dance.
What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance. Everybody dance. Everybody dance, dance. What, you don't like to dance?
Tune in to Too Dreamy, Fridays from 1 to 2 p.m. on CITR, featuring music from local female and non-binary musicians and some sweet bedroom pop tunes.
That's Audrey. She'll be up right after us in about 10 minutes. Right now, it's time for the Dave Radio Call Board, featuring auditions and calls for crews, musicians, and other contributors for productions around Metro Vancouver. It's our belief that auditions announced here should be open to artists of all cultural, sexual, gender, ability, and other identities. In fact, we encourage everyone to read for everything. The UBC Musical Theatre Troupe is preparing for its first show of the 2018-19 season. It's called 13 The Musical. It's a story of Evan Goldman, who has been forced to move from New York City to Appleton, Indiana, just before his bar mitzvah. With a fresh start, Evan can choose whoever he wants to be right before he becomes a man. Accompanied by a great score from Tony Award-winning composer Jason Robert Brown, 13 The Musical is sure to get you smiling. And they are looking for some smilers. They want crew, musicians, and cast. They're looking for dedicated and creative individuals who are excited to learn and grow within the behind-the-scenes world of technical theater. And UBC MTT is a great opportunity for folks that are interested in working in theater but have no training or experience. It's a great way to kind of find out what it's like, and they'll teach you as you go. They'll you know, give you a hammer or a paintbrush or something and send you on your way. So they are looking for folks right now. So you can contact them at ubcmttproductions@gmail.com. They're also looking for musicians. This is a show that features a rock score for two keyboards, two guitars, drums, and bass. So they're looking for musicians of all backgrounds to apply. Even if you don't have access to your own instrument, you can rent something through the club. So, you know, if you can play drums, you just don't have a kit, show up. They'll get one for you. And, of course, they want actors. They want 40 cast members for this production. And so if you want to know more about that, you can go to their blog, which is at ubcmtt.wordpress.com, and that'll give you a breakdown of characters, some sides for cold reads, other dates, and things like that. The auditions are going to be held September 24th to 28th, and if you have any other questions, just send an email to mttcreative@gmail.com. Theater Replacement is doing a new aesthetics performance intensive workshop in the summer of 2019, but they're sending the word out now so that anybody interested can prepare for it. It's Janine During and Malik Gaines. They're coming to Vancouver next summer to lead the biennial New Aesthetics Performance Intensive. These two amazing artists, theorists, and thinkers sit at the very edge of their respective disciplines, and being able to get them both in the same room together for 2 weeks is a bit of a coup. The program dates have shifted from 1 week to those listed in the festival guide. So if you've got the festival guide, check it out. The event is actually happening July 8th to 19th, 2019. Application deadline is February 15th. of 2019. And they're only open to 20 participants. So they want to get the word out early so folks that want to get involved get a chance to get in. And they are restricting it to people that have at least 5 years of professional experience. So if you have any questions, you can contact James Long, and his email is james@theaterreplacement.org. The Chemainus Theater Festival is holding auditions for The Sound of Music, and they are looking for actors who can play instruments and also sing, dance, and do all the other actor-y kind of things. Send your PDF with a headshot, resume, and any other notes highlighting your instrumental, dance, or singing abilities to V. Caldwell, V-C-A-L-D-W-E-L-L, at chemainustheater.ca. The auditions are happening on September 25th. Left Coast Labor Chorus and the Troika Collective are presenting the Ginger Goodwin Project by Carolyn Snianetsky. Oh, I butchered that name. Sorry about that, Caroline. The production is happening November 18th at the Russian Hall. They're holding auditions on the 25th and 29th of September at the Green Thumb Theatre Studios, which is 5560 McKinnon, up in the Collingwood District at Kingsway and Joyce. The Troika Collective is looking for non-equity performers for an upcoming short performance commissioned by the Left Coast Labor Chorus. Is it just me? Do I find it a little ironic that they're looking for non-union actors to do a union show? Anyway, it's in commemoration of the BC General Strike of 1918. The piece is a new work by the author whose name I butchered, in collaboration with the Troika Collective Artistic Director and with contributions from the ensemble. They're looking for performers who are strong movers and comfortable with collective creation and devising. Ability to sing is also an asset. Performers who identify as being part of an underrepresented community are strongly encouraged to apply, and all organizations in this collaboration are committed to representing the diversity of Vancouver in this project. If you want more information, their email address is the Troika Collective, Troika Collective@gmail.com. Another collaborative show coming up in mid-December is called The Recovery Show. It's sponsored by Vancouver Coastal Health's Consumer Initiative Fund. It's created and directed by Darlene Arsenault. Darlene is a mental health professional and theater artist who will help you stage your own recovery story. What they're looking for are people that have a working self-recovery plan, 18 and older, who are interested in making a scene about their recovery. You can learn voice work, body awareness, storytelling, character work, scene building, and improvisation in two-hour classes that happen weekly from mid-September until mid-May. As I said, two shows will be produced, one for mid-December of this year, one for mid-May. And if you want to find out more, you can look up Play It Forward or go to Vancouver Coastal Health Consumer Initiative Fund. Tomorrow is the audition for SRO Stars, a play. This is a dramatic reading with script in hand and limited props, written by five members of the MPA Society, a society supporting recovery for people with mental health issues. It's going to be part of the Heart of the City Festival in October at the Carnegie Center. SRO Stars is a five-scene play about how it goes sometimes when you live in an SRO or end up in hospital. Or life just doesn't feel in the groove. The audition is on Saturday, that's tomorrow, at the MPA Resource Center, which is at 2275 Fir Street at about 6th and Fir. And this is for male and female actors from age 20 to whatever. They are specifically looking for one female Asian actor, 20 to 60. Everyone else is diverse, and whoever shows up will be considered. Send your headshot and resume to lroundtree@look.ca with audition on the subject line. Simon Fraser University is presenting Tom at the Farm by Michel-Marc Bouchard, and that is going to be happening in November at the SFU Woodward's Goldcorp Center for the Arts. The auditions are on September 27th. They're looking for two actors, a female in her 50s and a male actor in his 30s. This is a production for the School of Contemporary Arts at Simon Fraser University. If you want more information, you can contact the director, and his email address is bpostalian@gmail.com, Brian Postalian, And he also has a website, brianpostalion.com. We've also got auditions for Deep Cove Stage Society doing a production of Rebel Women by Joan Bryans. That show's happening in October at Deep Cove Stage Society. If you want to find out more, you can contact Sarah Arnold, sarahearnold@gmail.com. Miracle Theater in Prince George is doing Halfway There by Norm Foster. That's happening in February and March in Prince George. They're having auditions in Vancouver in early October. You can find out more at miracletheater.ca. Once again, Joan Bryans is doing another one of her theater verbatim plays. This one is about the rebels of the Irish uprising of 1916. It's called Changed Utterly. It's going to be on stage at the Jericho Arts Center in February. The auditions are at the Playwrights Theatre Center in Chinatown on the 9th of October. And you can look up Vital Spark Theatre for more information on that. Metro Theatre is doing Murder on the Reserve by Thomas Hishak. Those auditions are October 9th and 10th. This is a murder mystery set in a small town library. So it's not on a reserve, it's murder on reserve. It's a library pun. That production is happening at Metro Theatre in January, auditions October 9th and 10th. Urban Ink Productions are looking to meet musical theatre performers from the Vancouver region whose work they have not yet seen. So this is a general audition for Urban Ink. If you want to get an audition for, if you haven't auditioned for Urban Ink in the past 2 years, they want to see you. Send your cover letter, headshot, and resume to producer@urbaninc.ca. Deadline for that is October 12th. Royal City Musical Theatre is doing Singing in the Rain, the stage version of the classic 50s musical with Gene Kelly and Donald O'Connor. That's going to be up in April at the Massey Theatre, New Westminster. Right now, they are casting for all roles. So if you want to get in on Singing in the Rain, you can contact rmctoffice@telus.net. The auditions are going to be on the 13th and 14th of October. A couple more here. North Van Community Players doing Norm Foster's Drinking Alone. That production is happening at Hendry Hall in January. The auditions are the 21st and 22nd of October. And also in October, Theater Under the Stars, getting ready for the 2019 season. They're doing Mamma Mia, the show that ran forever at the Stanley. They're going to be doing it at Theater Under the Stars next year, directed by Shel Piercy. The auditions for that are in October. They're specifically casting for the featured roles of Donna, Rosie, Tanya, Sam, Bill, and Harry. General auditions for other roles, plus the auditions for Newsies, which is the other show that Tuts is doing, they'll be held in December. So all they're doing right now is casting for the principals of Mamma Mia, and that's going to be happening in October. If you want to find out more, you can email Nellie Hanbury. She's the auditions coordinator at tuts.auditions@gmail.com. And that's it. Oh, my goodness. I've gone over time. If you want details on these or other auditions, go to VancouverActorsGuide.com or Vancouver Public Library at bpl.ca. And that's our show. Thanks for spending your lunch hour with us. Remember, if you have a song that needs airplay, a show that needs an audience, an audition that needs actors, a class that needs students, or a film shoot that needs background, we're here for you. Send your details to DaveRadioPodcast@hotmail.com and like us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We're at CITR Dave Radio. Stick around. Audrey is stomping at the door trying to get in to get her show on, True Dreamy, followed by Bebby Crespin at 2 and Nardwuar the Human Survey at 3:30. Dave Radio returns next week at the same time. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.